This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
The Brooklyn Nets are going to honor the request and try to find a trade for Kevin Durant.
He wanted this to be his show. That's why he came here, right?
Moving from team to team to team, taking the easy way out.
So now he's going to be a guy that's going to be playing on his fourth team in 6 years. No one ever has taken an easier path to a championship than Kevin Durant.
This is an organizational catastrophe of epic proportions.
Epic.
You tore down your entire team.
Chasing championships. You can't tell me that that doesn't hurt their appeal.
If I'm looking at where this went wrong, the first person I'm going to blame is the person who was pulling the strings, and that's Kevin Durant.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Some are saying the show has never sounded better. That's not me saying that. That's others. But it is DPHRO and Rothenberg. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. He is Dan Grasso. I'm Gordon Damer. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. And a very busy Friday. Now, do you have a big July 4th? What's the July 4th plans in the Grasso household? Is it a big day? Is it an under-the-radar kind of holiday? Just, you know, kick back and relax? Is it party central? How do we approach this?
It's not like, you know, wild party. It's traditional. And supposedly, like we were just talking about this during the break, like I think the weather's supposed to be pretty favorable on Monday for the actual
gorgeous
holiday.
90.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, maybe a little outside, little swimming, little barbecue. And then just taking it easy. Little, you know, the fireworks tonight. Like, we can actually see the fireworks from our house. Like, we just, like, go to the back and see the fireworks.
Who's
like,
better
they're a couple of blocks away.
Now, you're not Rick DiPietro. Rick is actually hiring the Grucci people to come in. He's got, he's got a connection. And they're going to put on a private show just for the DiPietro household. But still, that's pretty good. You can sit out in the back, just watch the fireworks.
How do you feel, by the way, because you're a New Jersey resident, just like I am, that you can go to your local supermarket and now, like, you do the self-checkout, you check out, you do everything at the grocery, and you're walking out of the grocery store and you still see the massive firework display that they have right at the foot of the grocery store. Is that off-putting to you in any way?
It is, because my son is so obsessed with fireworks. That every, it doesn't matter how much he has already gotten, he still needs more. We need another, we need a third act, Dad. We need to put on a show here for the people that are coming to the house. I'm more concerned with Jersey with not having any of the plastic bags anymore. I'm walking out of the store just grabbing my stuff like a nomad, like a store nomad, just grabbing it. How much stuff can you hold in your arms at one time?
What a charade.
I don't like bringing a list to the store. I don't like bringing coupons to the store. I'll be damned at 51 years of age if I'm going to be walking in with my own canvas bags. Like, you know, how far have we fallen as a society that that's what I have to do now? But
They're selling those things because there's a lot of people that, let's say, overshop, you know, that they can't carry them out, you know, like an octopus with eight arms or whatever. And so the stores have those bags that I don't know, what are they, a buck or two or something that you could buy? And because there's a lot of people that still aren't up to the rule. I mean, look, we've been living on this earth for how many years?
I'll be damned if I'm buying those bags.
I don't blame you.
Carry the stuff on my head back and forth from the store to the car before I pay that dollar for the bag.
Make 50 trips from the store to the car and tell somebody at the store, hey, watch this. This is my stuff.
Watch my stuff.
Watch my stuff.
Hey, look, I didn't put the rules in place. I'm not the one selling the bags for $1.50.
Are we really saving people and making
not.
The world better with the elimination of the bags thing?
Of course not.
What is that?
As I tell my daughter all the time, by now the turtles should be used to the straws. I got to get back to my plastic straws. I can't take these cardboard straws that are falling apart. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, what are we doing? We've regressed as a society to such a degree.
Give me a styrofoam cup. You know, nothing like a nice cup of coffee out of a styrofoam cup.
Remember back in the day, you'd go to McDonald's, you get the styrofoam thing that you put the fries in the other side of the styrofoam. You got your burger there, the fries on the other side. When you were all done, you took the trash, you threw it right outside the car. That was a great scene in Mad Men when they get done with the picnic and they just take all the garbage and he just throws it into the woods.
Have you, with your son with the firework obsession?
Yeah.
Have you cautioned him already about, like, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh,
like,
he knows. You, yeah, no,
have, he knows Jason Pierre-Paul, for example.
Yes. No, no. Well, look, the Jersey fireworks are not the heavy hitters, right? Like, there's other people in the neighborhood who make the neighborhood sound like downtown Beirut at 10 o'clock at night. But, no, he's got the legal ones. So it doesn't, you know, there's some sparks, there's some smoke, there's some, you know, colors that happen, but there's no jet propulsion. There's no rockets that you could send to the moon, right?
You know who my favorite people are? And I say this in jest, of course. They're not really my favorite people. But the folks who feel obligated to throw their own firework party, let's say as late as, I don't know, July 8th, 9th, when we're like still past the 4th of July.
No.
But they still feel to take it upon themselves to let the whole world know that, hey, I have fireworks. And more importantly, I know how to light them and make noise late at night to disturb people. I like those people.
That's the one problem I have. I love the holiday. I love July 4th. It's a great time. Middle of summer. It's one of my go-to holidays. If I had to pick holidays and rank them, it would probably be number two. I love it that much. But yeah, the random fireworks on June 28th at 9:04 at night, I could do without those. I'm not going to lie. Those people should be sent to jail. I would have no. Yeah. If you told me you were going to round up those people and send them to jail, I would have no problem with that whatsoever. What? No, not one single iota. All right, 1-800-919 ESPN is the telephone. I don't even know why I'm giving the telephone number because the lines are jammed. Obviously, everybody wants to talk about NBA free agency. And if you're talking about NBA free agency, it's all about the Nets, Kevin Durant, and what that situation is. So I asked you the question there before the break, Dave.
Yeah.
What do you think Knicks fans enjoyed more yesterday? The fact that they have now seemingly ended the never-ending search for a point guard by signing Jalen Brunson, stealing him away from the Dallas Mavericks, who clearly wanted him back, thought that they would get him back. Is it the Knicks fan enjoying that more, or is it watching the implosion of the Brooklyn Nets super team? Was that more enjoyable to the Knicks?
I think it's the latter. With the implosion of the Nets. Because the reason I say that is, from a Knicks perspective, I think it was kind of fait accompli ever since draft night. Like, remember, when the Knicks made all those moves on draft night, they punted on the draft, they acquired the draft choices, they shed salary, all with an effort to make the run at Jalen Brunson. And I don't think they do that unless they had some pretty good intel that Brunson was coming here. Okay, Rick Brunson's on the staff. Jalen Brunson's agent is Leon Rose's son. They knew that this was happening. You know what I mean? So, like, we've been talking about this pretty much for a week, knowing that Brunson was going to come here. Yesterday was the actual formality. So it's not like it took Knicks fans by surprise. The Nets stuff, I still think, genuinely did maybe pique their curiosity, whether this would happen, what road would they go down. But then to see it actually come to fruition, while the Knicks had a good day, I think that they probably basked a little bit more in the fact that Brooklyn, in all probability, is going to be one of these teams that might teeter on irrelevance here for this upcoming NBA season.
If you're a Knicks fan, for the last 3 years, you have been hearing about how your sibling, your brother, is so much better than you.
Yeah.
They do everything right, you do everything wrong, and yesterday was the day you found out that your brother has his credit cards maxed out. You find out that he has a secret identity online that is ruining his life. Yesterday was the comeuppance for hearing for the last 3 years about how they do everything right and you do everything wrong. And the schadenfreude of that moment, it's absolutely delicious.
You know something, KD? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
I mean, I don't know that he necessarily regrets not coming to the Knicks, but he obviously regrets going to the Nets because these were 3 wasted years that he could have done something else. If he had picked a different running mate, maybe it's different.
Can we, like, rewind even further? Like, not even 3 years ago. Could we go back, like, what, a decade ago? When they made the move across the river as a franchise from Jersey to Brooklyn. And remember, all we heard about then was that Brooklyn was going to infiltrate the Knick market, that the Nets
ridiculous.
Were going to steal some of the Knick fan base. You know, where Brooklyn at? Jay-Z and Prokhorov, and they were going to really establish an identity and a foothold and all these things. Gordon, when is that exactly going to happen? Because you thought that maybe 3 years ago it finally was going to. That was their second attempt. Mm-hmm. We talked about the old guys from Boston that, you know, Billy King traded away about 80 first-round picks for. That worked out great for him. And now they swung and missed a second time. So somebody explain to me, when are the Nets actually going to actually establish themselves as this major, major contributor here to the so-called New York sports market? When is that happening?
It will never happen. It will never
happen. Should have stayed in Jersey.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I'm sure as an organization, they're probably far more profitable, you know, with Brooklyn, the state. They got their own stadium now and everything else. But
I think they had more of an identity still in Jersey.
Yeah, they probably did. I don't know that it was all that off the charts.
I mean, they needed a new building. You couldn't stay at the Meadowlands.
No.
I mean, but they could have played in Newark, Prudential Center, brand spanking new building.
Yeah, but still, it's not going to be there. You know, at least in Brooklyn, they do have some sort of an identity. Unfortunately, that identity right now is one of, you know,
one
kind of a laughing stock, right?
One playoff series win. That's the identity.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a laughing stock. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they had Bruce Willis come in NBA Finals game, sitting courtside in New Jersey. Did Bruce Willis make it to a game in Brooklyn in 11 years?
Well,
they've
had their celebrities there, right?
Well, but those are bandwagon people.
Well, I mean, you know. Was Bruce Willis really that big of a Nets fan, or is he?
Well,
he was a
Jersey guy by trade, yeah. Right? Like he was born in Jersey, went to high school or something like that. And then he woke up one day and said he saw the newspaper and he was like, "Oh
hey.
Wait, the Nets are in the finals.
Hey,
I better get to a
check
game."
Check this out. Yeah. let me go check this out. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Mike is in Teaneck. Mike, you're next up on DiPietro and Rothenberg. Good morning.
Morning, fellas.
What's up, Mike?
Not much. Well, I didn't mind when they were in Jersey because I used to go watch Jason Kidd and Kittles and Kay and Mario do their thing over in Jersey. And I used to sit almost courtside right behind the basket for $150. So I was cool with that. But, you know, I can't go to Brooklyn and sit that close anymore. But I wanted to say, I think the Nets are actually the silly party in this, right? The reason why Kevin Durant is going to leave is because they did not give Kyrie Irving his extension. You have Kyrie Irving, you have Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons. Why not give this man the money now? All this vaccine stuff is out the way. If it doesn't work, you can still get rid of Kyrie just by trading Kevin Durant next year. You understand? The reason why he's leaving, I know everybody wants to sit there and crucify Kevin Durant like, you know, Kevin Durant is this, Kevin Durant is that. But the reason why this thing is going the way it is because the Nets did not give Kyrie his extension. I would have given it to him. You don't think
Mike,
so?
Mike, thank God you're not running my team because seriously, what the hell has Kyrie Irving proven to anybody over there or any fan or media member or anybody on this earth over the last 3 years that would convince you that he is committed to actually helping you win basketball games? And more importantly, and I've said this many times, he's shown me that basketball is not his number one priority because Mike just brought up, oh, well, you know, the vaccination stuff is now out of the way. Okay, great. But you know what, Gordon? There is going to be an issue that pops up between now and some point over the next 6-7 months that we don't even know will be an issue. But I'm sure it's going to peeve Kyrie enough to where he'll wake up one morning and decide, you know what? I don't want to play basketball right now. And then he'll probably decide that he needs to get away for about a week or two and, you know, leave the Nets high and dry. Why in God's name would anybody want to sign up for another tour of duty for multiple years? I mean, the Nets handled this thing perfectly. And unfortunately for them, it came at the price of losing KD as well. So be it.
They knew what they were doing when they did it, right? They knew that there was the possibility that they would lose Kevin Durant as a result of not signing Kyrie Irving to a max contract, and they knew that they just couldn't do that. It would have been organizational suicide because they already weren't good enough to do anything more than win one playoff series in the first 3 years. What makes you think it was going to get all that much better moving forward? And this idea that, well, you know, they didn't give Kyrie the max because of what happened with the whole vaccine drama. If it would only have been this year and the vaccine drama, they would have given him, probably, because you're right. It's now passed, and that won't be an issue. But that's the thing with Kyrie. There's always an issue. There's always something. It was an issue in Cleveland. Oh, I'm not getting the spotlight enough because of LeBron. I got to get out of here. There was issues in Boston. There were issues constantly in Brooklyn. The first year he played 20 games. There's always something that comes up with Kyrie Irving. He is as unreliable a superstar player as there is in any sport. He misses time all the time. It's the thing that you can count on with Kyrie Irving. So no, this is not just an offshoot of the vaccine status. This is who Kyrie is as a player and as a person. He is unreliable.
I mean, this is a guy who a week ago was ringing up the Lakers and ringing up LeBron James, a guy who he wanted to get away from when they were in Cleveland, which was as good a situation, a championship situation, knowing that he would maybe have to take a $30 million pay cut because he was thinking about going there. And the Nets are supposed to give this guy everything he wants. And spare me this too, Gordon, and I'm so glad that we don't have to hear about this anymore. What happened to, remember how many times we heard over the last few years, Kyrie, the Nets fan? Like, remember those pictures when John Tavares left the Islanders to sign with the Maple Leafs? Like, I'm waiting for the Kyrie pictures of when he was a little boy sleeping in bed with the Nets bed sheets. Because for a guy that supposedly loved the Nets so much, boy, he really isn't exactly bending over backwards to continue that nostalgic feeling, don't you think?
And it's amazing that the first time that the Nets organization has put their foot down and kept their foot down and has not let the foot up off the ground, both guys who came here and have run the show the entire time are like, well, you're going to do that? All right, we got to get out of here. Like, yeah. As soon as the Nets have made a decision and said, you know what, this is the decision and we're not changing it, and they took back a little bit of the power for their organization, the two guys who came here and have been running the show here the last 3 years say, you know what, we can't deal with this. We're not going to. When you're not going to tell us that what we're going to do. Well, all right, then we're okay with that. The Nets did not get blindsided by this. The Nets knew that this was a possibility, and they decided that this is the best path forward. And they put a lot into giving the guys the control and allowing them to do whatever they did. And it certainly does not make the organization look good because the state that the organization is in. But they weren't going to sink any more resources into something that was already kind of doomed to fail. They knew that it was not going to work. It's not worked. It's not going to work. It's only going to make things worse. So let's cut our ties. There's no more sunk costs, and let's move on.
It's kind of what, well, I mean, obviously on a much smaller scale, but what the Knicks did on draft night. All right, they realized the Kemba Walker signing last year was a mistake. They knew early on it wasn't going to work. Still had one more year. I know that it was not major money, but they realized it's not going to work for him here. Let's cut our losses. Hell, we'll attach a first-round pick to the contract just to move him out of here. And they move on. They right a wrong. That's what the Nets are doing here. It wasn't going to work. So you know what? Let's start fresh. Let's rid ourselves of this headache. We'll see what we get back in return. And maybe, just maybe, we could. Remember, this team, Gordon, how many times did we have to hear about, like Sean Marks say, culture, the Brooklyn culture,
oh my God,
the right way, culture this, culture that. And culture went out the window when they went all in on James Harden. That, to me, is what ultimately sunk this ship. That was the first domino that fell. So now they could go back to maybe building the culture the right way. Might not have any superstars, might not have enough proven NBA veteran superstars. However, maybe you get lucky with the draft picks. Maybe you get lucky bringing in young talent that'll all come together and play hard. And oh, by the way, isn't Brooklyn lucky? See, it's not all bad for Brooklyn. Aren't they fortunate? Aren't they lucky that even though they might have a young team now, Gordon, where you're going to need to coach these guys up, aren't they blessed that they have such a master tactician and a master developer and an experienced coach like Steve Nash to help bring this to fruition? Isn't that incredible?
It's incredible. I actually saw that now that they're not win now, maybe Steve Nash is going to want out. I'm thinking to myself, Steve Nash is still there? I thought that they threw him overboard after the playoffs. Oh, that's right. He's still the coach.
Hiring Steve Nash to coach their team other than Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, we have to find out where Kevin Durant goes next. Maybe he'll want him there as well.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. I'm so thrown off by all this news. I have not at any point so far, through an hour and 20 minutes or so, wished you a happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Gordon, you know what? You shouldn't have. And let me be the first to wish you a happy Bobby Bonilla Day as well.
Yes.
And to all the fans out there, too.
And we should all be so grateful and gracious to go out to our mailbox and get a check for $1.1 million or something like that. It's a good deal. It's a good deal.
That's a good living if you can get it. I mean, at what point, and I mean, I don't know how many years it's been, as a matter of fact, but like, at what point do you become a little jaded about the whole thing? Or are you just kind of like, eh? Like, is it something you look forward to? Is it something you circle on the calendar? Do you think you almost forget about it if you're Bobby Bonilla all these years later?
Maybe. That's possible, right? Oh, is it? It's July. Oh, you go out to the mailbox. Look at that. It's July 1st again. Hey, he might have direct deposit by now.
$1.19 million. And it began in 2011 is when he started to get the direct deposit there. And it goes to 2035. So think about it. He's still got 13 more years.
So
Bobby Bonilla Day is 13 more years into the future.
Like, we're smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We're not even we're not in the end game here.
It's like still the Roman Empire.
Nice. That's a good deal. Mailbox millionaire. That's what you always want to be. You just show up at the mailbox and look at that. Bang. Check. Boom.
This is so great.
Bills? No, this is just a check. Nice. New York.
I see
Mets.
Bobby Bonilla, the thing, like, and for those that maybe weren't old enough to remember his career, he was a good player. You know, like, it didn't work out here with the Mets,
no,
maybe like he would have hoped. But, I mean, Bobby Bonilla had himself a pretty good career.
Oh, absolutely. He was a good player. More so Pittsburgh than the Mets.
Won a World Series with the Marlins, that team in 97, after the Mets. You know, had some, you know, time in Baltimore. And then, you know, what also, I think, made things even worse is that, remember, there was the Met reunion. He came back in 99, and that ended really with him and Ricky Henderson playing cards in the clubhouse during the playoffs.
Which did not turn out well again.
No.
Shockingly.
No. No. Bad hand. Well, that happens.
These things happen. You know, who could have predicted that it would not have turned out well? All right, it is DiPietro and Rothenberg. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. But obviously, we are focused in on everything surrounding the Brooklyn Nets, everything surrounding Kevin Durant. And it is time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I guess we got to get into, Dan, where do you think Kevin Durant winds up? Obviously, the two big ones that are out there, it seems like Phoenix is where he wants to go most of all. It makes some sense, right? They've not been able to get over the hump. As I brought up earlier, if I'm Sean Marks, I don't really care where Kevin Durant wants to go. I have to figure out a way to get the best package to kind of survive for my organization, for my own sake, right? Because if in 2 years the Nets are still dealing with the fallout, which they clearly will be dealing with the fallout, if Sean Marks isn't able to put something decent on the floor from now until then, well, guess what? Sean Marks ain't going to be around. For all the great, you know, they have support for him right now. 2 years of losing after the last previous 3 years, he'll be the guy that ends up paying the price. So where do you think Kevin Durant winds up when this is all said and done?
Well, before I answer that, though, you brought up a good point. How much do you think internally they're pointing the finger at Sean Marks. Like, do you think that he already will become a casualty because of how this whole thing unfolded? Like, how, you know, Joe Tsai hasn't been at this thing long enough, and we really don't know enough about him yet as an owner, you know, in terms of, like, major, major moves for a long period of time. Like, is Joe Tsai right now really holding Sean Marks responsible that basically a team that was put together to win a championship and was, you know, an odds-on favorite at one time to win a championship is now basically crumbling down to a pile of rubble? Is that falling on Sean Marks?
I don't know that it's falling. I think right now it's easy to blame the players. I'll say this. I don't
think blame Steve Nash.
I don't think that they're going to blame themselves either. Like, I don't think ownership is going to say, you know what? My bad. You know what? I screwed up. I don't get the sense that billionaires are the first ones to point the finger at themselves. They're going to find a way to point their finger at somebody else because at the end of the day, they're the owner, right? They don't have to answer to anybody else. So I think that the blame right now will probably, if you're Sean Marks, you can explain this away that the blame belongs with the players and we've made mistakes, but that only lasts for so long. If in 2 years the Nets are without picks, are a bad organization that's not winning any playoff rounds or even playoff contention, it's eventually going to come back to Sean Marks. There's no other. Who else are you going to blame?
Well, I mean, like if I'm Joe Tsai, and I'm not, obviously. But he could turn around and say to Sean Marks, hey, Sean, I understand that, you know, the players are going to do their own thing and they decided to, you know, leave and go in a different direction and so on and so forth. But Joe Tsai's the one who wrote those checks. I mean, how much did they pay in luxury tax penalties or whatever it is in the NBA? I mean, think about the payroll in these contracts. I mean, and the checks that he had to write to pay those penalties all to chase a championship, right? So, I mean, somebody has to answer that. And that's where I would be annoyed, even though Joe Tsai is a billionaire, you know, several times over. Nobody likes writing that kind of money away. And ultimately, if it gets you, what, one playoff series win? So I wonder if somebody's going to be held responsible for that. That's where I'm a little bit curious here. And you know what? Sean Marks, he might decide, and I don't know this to be true, but what if Sean Marks decides, Gordon, he's like, you know, I still have enough allies in and around the NBA. My reputation, I still think, is in good standing around the NBA circles. Hell, why don't I get a soft landing out of here? Maybe I so-called, you know, step away. We could call it whatever phrase you want to use to announce my separation from the club. He lays low. Then he gets rehired by his old buddy Popovich down there in San Antonio, you know, gets back in the groove someplace else. And then maybe he gets to take over another franchise down the road in the NBA while the going is still good. I could even see something like that happening.
It's not crazy because, like, the Nets are like the Airbnb owner that got the keys back to the place yesterday, and the place is trashed. The renter has been there for a couple of years, and they thought that, oh, everything is all good and well, and the renter, you know, jumped out and left, and they got to take a look at the lay of the land, and the land is scorched earth. The land is in some bad shape. It's going to need some upgrades for sure. That is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I should tell you that DPH and Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's get a couple of calls in here. Let's go out to Eric is in Jersey. Eric, you're next up on DNR.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Before I make my next point, Gordon, I just want to tell you how refreshing it is to have you back on my morning drive in the morning, as opposed to that narcissistic, self-centered guy
Rick
who loves to stump himself every day.
I'm sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Look, all joking aside, I love Dave and Rick. I listen to their show all the time, but thank you for the kind words.
Absolutely. As to the next point, I think that Kyrie Irving deserves a majority of the blame in this, because had he fulfilled his obligations and not missed as many games as he has over the course of the last 2 years, I believe that both James Harden and Kevin Durant would still be there. Kevin Durant was recently asked about his position with the whole Kyrie saga, and his thing was, let's wait and see how it plays out. Everyone thought that he would stay if Kyrie was being re-signed. I think it's quite the opposite now. I think that he, if Kyrie was returning, was going to be his exit. That's why he's leaving. He's done with Kyrie.
Well, I mean, if he finally did quit Kyrie, I don't think that anybody could blame him.
Right.
I don't get the sense that that's the way. I don't get the sense that he blames Kyrie as much as we all do. It's a very unique friendship. I mean, if you can find somebody who loves you the way that KD loves Kyrie, boy, hold on to that love like grim death. I mean,
absolutely.
It's very impressive the loyalty that he has showed to Kyrie when there really hasn't been any loyalty on the way back. It usually has to be, you know, my father used to say about me as a kid, there's a street named after you and it's one way. And that's kind of Kyrie Irving, man. It seems like there's a street named after him, and it is all one way.
No doubt about it. And you still sit here and like how many more missteps does KD possibly have to witness from Kyrie to where this undying loyalty finally goes out the window? Right? I mean, like you are a superstar. There is legacy that is attached to this. If Kyrie wants to go ruin his legacy, which I think to a certain degree it already has been ruined, because you can't take him seriously anymore, even though he won one of the, you know, and hit one of the most clutch shots in NBA history, winning a championship, hitting essentially a game winner on the road in a game 7, for crying out loud, you know, to dethrone a 73-win team that year in Golden State. But everything that's happened since, that's tarnished what this guy's done in his NBA career. Let's be honest. But KD almost wants to go down in flames with him. I for the life of me, I can't figure it out. I thought Kevin Durant had more pride than that. But like you said, if you find a friend like that, you might as well hang on to him until the bitter end, because that's the way this is headed.
It is impressive. I can't say that I understand it, but it is impressive. Pete is in Flushing. Pete, you're next up on DPH and Rothenberg.
Hey, first time call, guys. Loving the show. You guys are hitting so many great points that the points I was going to bring up, Brooklyn stuck with what, Ben Simmons now? Another head case. You know, also, you brought up another good point. Like, when can the owners put their foot down and say, look, you just signed a deal. You got 4 more years. No, you're staying here. And, oh, you're 32, whatever age you are. Well, that's too bad. You know? And then I'm a... But the only guy, I grew up in the 90s, about 40 years old, the 90s Knicks. And back then, the only guy that moved around wasn't a superstar. His name was Robert Horry. You know what I mean? They didn't move around like this, and they didn't have that power.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way that the NBA operates is when the superstar says that he wants out, they generally get out, and they generally get to where they want to go, because I think organizations view it as, well, the next time that we get the chance at the superstar, we want that person to know that we handle our people right, and that there would be a stigma attached if you didn't move your superstar. But it is kind of crazy. Here's Kevin Durant, just signed a 4-year extension that hasn't even kicked in yet. And he's already telling the Nets, he's requested. He hasn't demanded, right? He's requested a trade.
What's the difference? You know,
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to probably get what he wants. And it's just a question of, does he go to the team that he wants to go to?
And you know what you know, our previous caller was talking about there, like, well, you know, why let the players dictate how this thing operates? Well, because they could just kind of pull what Kyrie's basically done,
absolutely,
on a whim the last few years. Like, I don't want to play. And then he disappears and I'm not playing. And, you know, even Ben Simmons hasn't played. Ben Simmons can't take the floor. You know, he's still in the ramping it up mode, I'm sure. You know, even now in this, I just saw him fishing in Croatia, but, you know, he's still ramping it up, supposedly. And then they're not doing you any good. So if you're paying a guy a ton of money, he doesn't feel like playing, and he's trying to stick it to the organization, well, you want to at least get something for that, and then you're left with no recourse but to trade him. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. The player, the superstar in the NBA dictates business more so, I think, than any superstars do in any other of our team sports. Hands down.
I don't even think it's close. I don't even think it's close.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Coming up at 6:45, we will do the morning roast. I have a target in mind. But, of course, it is all about the Brooklyn Nets. It is all about Kevin Durant and the announcement yesterday that he has requested a trade. And so the Titletown Championship Express that the Nets have put together here, the last, and the fact, Dan, that it comes on the same exact day that they announced the partnership of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, it's just so fitting. It's just so perfect. It's just so delicious that here we are 3 years later, and no, even the biggest pessimist could not have thought that this would have turned out to be this much of a disaster.
You know what I just thought about, too, like as we've been talking about this? You know how from time to time we get into these conversations and we ask the question aloud about which New York team will win a championship next? Like, who is the most championship ready? Mm-hmm. And probably over the last couple of years, like that answer from time to time might have been the Brooklyn Nets.
Absolutely.
Right? And now we're talking about a team that may not even be 500. And God knows when they may even be a playoff team again, depending on how things shake out here over the next several weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real way you could have an expectation on what they're going to be because it's just so wide-ranging. You know that Durant's not going to be here. You got to get Kyrie Irving out of here. I mean, I don't know what would be worse news for the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant leaving or Kyrie Irving staying? That might be. I put up a poll yesterday. I think it was about 50-50. It's that kind of ugly.
Cockroaches.
So, yeah.
How do you think Kenny Atkinson is loving this?
Oh, my God. He's got to be laughing himself silly this morning, right? Like,
Kenny Atkinson's like the Kermit the Frog meme or whatever, drinking the tea or whatever.
Oh, he has to be doubled over in laughter. He has to just be enjoying that. Now, he won't say it publicly, but, you know there he is.
This is a letter W.
He's out there in Golden State living the dream, fresh off a championship.
Fresh off telling Michael Jordan no.
Right. Has to be odds-on favorites again.
And remember Kevin Durant, like, when he decided to sign with the Nets, and you could tell, like, the BS was just flowing at that point. Like roll up your pants because the BS was getting too thick, you know what I mean, that you were standing in. About part of the reason why he decided to sign with Brooklyn because of Kenny Atkinson. And even though he wasn't going to play that first year, KD went on YouTube and he watched all of these just intricate, mesmerizing offensive sets that Kenny Atkinson had drawn up from all of his stops in the NBA. And KD's head was going to explode. He just couldn't comprehend how brilliant it was. He had to play for that guy. But yet when it came time to toss him overboard and throw him a lifeline, KD was nowhere to be found.
Never played a game for the guy. And how about that Nets culture, right? That was what was all that's why the guys teamed up, and that's why they wanted to go to Brooklyn. It was because they had this unbelievable culture, this great culture, and then the first thing they did to supplement the culture was just pick it apart piece by piece by piece.
Like the vulture. Like picks away at the you know, the dying flesh, right? Just like continues to eat away at it. That's what happened with the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, let's get a couple more calls in here before the morning roast. Let's go to Luke is in Ocean Point. Luke, you're next up on DPH and Rothenberg.
How you doing, guys? First time caller.
What's up, Luke?
Yeah. If I'm looking at this through Durant's eyes and what I just went through the last two seasons, you were never gonna win with these guys. Kyrie is the most selfish person in the NBA, and then you acquired Simmons, who's the most mentally weak person in the NBA. Like those two guys together, you're never gonna win anything. Like I understand it looks bad and the timing's awful, but if I'm him, I'm sitting there and I'm saying I'm not winning with these guys, and especially if I'm looking around the rest of the Eastern Conference at some of these teams, there's no way in hell that they're beating them. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's soft on Durant's part, and I think, you know, he's a great player, but I don't think he's as good as everyone makes him out to be. I mean, this guy can't do it by himself. He needs to join an established team. And he needs a real point guard that's going to be there on a night-to-night basis.
The other thing, too, Luke, you know, and thanks for the phone call. And Gordon, like, can you ever think of a superstar? Like, I'm thinking about how to phrase this properly. Like, if you think about somebody who has unbelievable talent, unbelievable skill set, and then if you match that up with how they've conducted themselves, you know, during their career. Can you think of anybody pound for pound as talented as Kevin Durant who's more sensitive and thin-skinned as Kevin Durant? And maybe even at times insecure. Because that's what a lot of this tells me, too, like the need to have to jump from team to team to team, whether it's the burner accounts and having to clap back at people, the Charles Barkley stuff over the last month about needing to drive the bus. I mean, this dude is one of the all-time greats, one of the top 20 guys to ever lace up sneakers and step on a basketball court. And yet he's got to resort to all this stuff because it's almost like he's not confident, it seems like, in his own abilities and what he's done in his career, which to me is silly.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's the offshoot of the criticism that he got for going to Golden State. Like,
he thinks this helps?
No. And you know no, what's but funny I mean, is that people yesterday were bringing up teams, and you know, I don't know if people are joking, like, hey, maybe he goes back to Golden State. There's certainly no team that could put together maybe a better package than them. And you know, oh, but that's silly, that's ridiculous. I'll be honest with you. To me, it's more sellable of a narrative for him to go back to Golden State than it was for him to go there the first time. You know, you go back there, you can say, well, you know what? I left. I had to do something on my own, but I should never have left this place. To me, that's an easier one to sell to me than, hey, I'm going to join the 73-win team because I've never won a championship before. That one will is there's no way you can explain that away other than I just want to attach my wagon to the easiest path I ever could to win a title.
But don't you think no matter where he ends up next, whether it's a good team, a bad team, a great team, a losing team, whatever, don't you think that anybody with half a brain is going to bring up the fact, oh, yeah, well, what about Brooklyn? Right? Like if they win, if they're successful, even if he wins a title, whatever his next stop is, it's still going to be, at least in my eyes, oh, yeah, but how come it didn't work in Brooklyn? How come he couldn't make it work over there? So, I mean, this is something that's going to stay with him, I think, for the rest of his career. It has to.
Unless they win. Unless wherever he goes, he does win a championship because winning cures all ills. But
if he does it in Sacramento, yes. But, like, if he joins up with other superstars or a team that's, like for instance, Phoenix or Miami, that already has, like, you know, 1 foot on the top of the mountain, basically, and he's there to nudge them up to the top, that, to me, does not carry the same weight as somebody who actually, like, put a franchise on his back. Like I said earlier, like, Jason Kidd coming here, the Nets were as downtrodden could be. He took them to 2 straight NBA Finals.
Yeah, but that's not happening. I mean, if he has any say in it whatsoever, he ain't going to some bad organization. He don't have that much time. He's going to be 34, man. You know, and he might not age as gracefully as LeBron James has aged. So, and even there, right? I mean,
he's not
knows?
As durable.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. All right, it is that time. It is time for our morning roast, and it is brought to you by Jackpocket.
This is why I'm hot. Is the morning roast.
Well, I will start this off. I feel like I need to. And my attention is drawn to the guy I thought that I had like a good relationship with over Monday through Thursday. It would be one Rick DiPietro.
Wow.
To your face, I love you. I love working with you. The text messages that I got, praise. Oh, it's been such a nice week. It's been such a different week. I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, the guy's requesting time off. Maybe he wanted to get out of this even earlier, and Dan hasn't been available until this point, so he's going to have to stick it out with me this entire week. What a terrible job by one Rick DiPietro. What a weasel. What a snake. Here I am thinking we're building this wonderful relationship over a wonderful week of shows, and I've done a fantastic job, Dan, but behind the scenes, calling up Hurley, calling up Winthrop, get me out of here. I can't deal with this Damer guy anymore. So, Rick DiPietro, awful job.
Is this salvageable? Like, I mean, is this relationship salvageable moving forward? Or is this,
well, look,
like,
on my end, I'm a very forgiving person. We've had some issues in the past because I pointed out ridiculous things that both Rick and Dave have said in this time slot about the New York Yankees, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that. They went very personal. But to me, that's the sign that you've won the argument, right? Like when you bring up a point and somebody attacks you physically about your appearance, about who you are as a person, that's the sign that you've won the argument. So I let bygones be bygones. But
when they have to resort to those things, then right. You know that you've got them where you want them.
Just because I've forgiven doesn't mean I've forgotten. Let's put it that way.
You can forgive, you can't forget. I like
right.
that.
RJ, do you have a roast this morning, my friend?
I do. When you said attack physically, I was going to say, wow. Did someone?
Well, my physical appearance. You know, I'm a turd.
Company security
should be alerted. Gambling
degenerate.
No, if Rick attacked me physically, I'd be in trouble.
I was going to say, good for you for making it through that to the other side. I do. This is, it will go unnamed, but you will figure it out. There's an airline out there.
Uh-oh.
That has a concept where you select your seat based on grouping 24 hours before your flight. It is stupid. It is inefficient. It is unorganized, and it should go away. All it does is create a rush 24 hours ahead of time, which is different, unique. I don't hate them for that. Here's my problem. What if you're busy 24 hours ahead of time? Because this particular airline, you really only get a couple of minutes to get in, get your number, and get your grouping, so that you will be seated with the people you're with. If you are more than a few minutes late, you run the risk of only selecting middle seats and being separated from the people you paid good money to be on a flight with. Therefore, I don't know how you change it or if you just get rid of it, but I'm here to tell you it's dumb.
It's airline Thunderdome is what you're saying.
It is stupid.
That was actually so well prepared and thought out. It was such a very, very convincing argument, my friend. That was a good job by you.
I was because the event I was talking about, this is going back a couple of months. I was in a wedding, and the 24-hour flight happened during the ceremony. And I got to tell you, if you're a half hour late, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. They may duct tape you to the back of the plane.
Well, I have found in air travel, that's when we're all at our best selves. Isn't that the case? You know, everybody's very happy to be taking part in airline travel. Everybody's always in a good mood.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's ready to just kill each other over the stupidest things.
Well, this was my first time on this experience.
And it sounds like the last.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
No friendly vouchers that they gave you as a token of their appreciation? Nothing like that?
Nothing like that.
Nothing. No.
Santiago, how we doing this morning, my pal, my friend?
Pretty good.
I'm worried that I'm going to be the target of the roast after the things that I have thrown out there this week.
No, I'm going to save my vitriol for you for another day.
Behind the scenes.
But yes. You're a big TikTok guy. You
love the TikTok. It's unbelievable.
I'm not as prominent on the TikTok, but I saw a story this week. I guess this guy goes by the name of Griff Green. Pretty popular, allegedly. Made a video this week about what it's like moving to the Bronx from Michigan, and I got to tell you, a lot of people had this opinion, but I got more annoyed the more I watched this video. So he chose to live in this quote-unquote blank hole, I'll let you fill in the blank, for a little while, and he was searching for grocery stores, and he became very upset because all he could find was bodegas and delis. He wanted to know where the Kroger's and the Whole Foods were because he could not find eggs, yogurt, and cheese. I don't know what you're expecting when you move to the Bronx there, buddy. And you know, full disclosure, I hate the Bronx as much as any other borough, but I'm not going to let outsiders come in and disparage the borough. It's kind of like Knicks fans, you know, who trash the Knicks but get very upset when you trash the Knicks. That listen, we're allowed to talk bad about our places. You are not. Shut up, deal with it, or move to Manhattan, buddy.
There you go.
Sticking up for the locals. I like that. I'll throw a quick one out there. And it's gotten a lot of play, but I just thought I would pile on. I'm tired of the whole Freddie Freeman weepy, I missed the Braves act. And now he's blaming the agent that he didn't necessarily get all the intel about what decision he was supposed to make. And I give Clayton Kershaw credit for the kind of backhanded comment he made about his new teammate. Like, hey, man, you play for the Dodgers now, not the Braves. I mean, it was a little over the top what we saw last weekend down in Atlanta. Guy's got to remember he's wearing a Dodger uniform right now. And, oh, by the way, getting paid a lot of money to do so.
Yeah, he sleeps on a bed of money. I think, you know what, whatever the problems you had with the Braves or anything like that, it all goes away when you're rubbing $100 bills to wipe away the tears.
Yes, exactly.
And I wish we had more time because I really wanted to go in on that stupid Astros stadium. I was looking at it again last night. That dopey stadium with the train. They used to have that stupid hill in center field. What a dopey stadium. People sitting in the stands wearing astronaut helmets, giant sombreros. What a terrible place. I hate Houston. And I hate the Astros. And
did anybody blow out their knee or anything on that hill while it was still in existence?
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
I'm shocked they didn't.
Like, how was that? They drew up plans, and they're like, you know what we're going to do in center field? We're going to make a grassy ramp. Right. That'll be a great idea, right? Let's add a little character. What a stupid stadium.
Towels Hill.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Towels Hill. That's right. And then they got rid of it. They're like, next year the outfield is just going to be flat. Yeah, like every other outfield.
What a
dummies.
Novel concept.
Right. What an idea.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.